All right, welcome back everybody to South Baltimore Now. Nate and Kevin with you today for another exciting episode where we're going to continue our series here of local political candidates. Today is a very special episode where we have Thirou Vignaraja, who's running for mayor of Baltimore City, and he wanted to get out a message to the community here in South Baltimore. Kev did an awesome job with the interview. Kev, man, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I tell you, you do one political interview and your phone starts ringing. So I guess our South Baltimore podcast has taken on some politics, but that's okay. And an election's coming up, so it's a good time for it.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a good time for it. So it makes sense. And whatever we can do to help our audience be more engaged and more informed is all the better. So Kev, you want to tell us a little bit about why we're interviewing Thirou today?
Yes, sure. It all started Zach Blanchard from running for District 11 councilperson really wanted to get on the show. So certainly when we did that, we wanted to offer Councilman Eric Costello a chance to get on the show. Both of them have been on the South Baltimore Now podcast, so please check out those episodes. And it certainly opened the floodgates for different political candidates wanting to get on the show. Some people working with and surrounding Thirou Vignaraja really wanted to get him on the show. He's been a Federal Hill resident for several years. So yeah, we have him on this episode. And certainly if any of the other big contenders for the Baltimore City mayor position want to come on our show, please don't hesitate to contact us. We'll try to get you on. But as always say, we're not a super political website here at southbmore.com. What we like to do is we like to have a conversation with people. There's a few issues that I thought are interesting and relevant that I wanted to ask him about. And he certainly has a lot of opinions on a lot of the different issues that people are thinking about in Baltimore. Hopefully this podcast will give people a little bit more info about who he is as a candidate and what his stance is on certain issues, and I hope you enjoy another episode of the show. Thirou, thanks for joining the show.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
Absolutely. So Thirou, tell us a little bit about your background growing up in the Baltimore area.
I appreciate the opportunity to share this. This mayor's race is obviously really important, and so much of why I love Baltimore has to do with how I got here. My mom and dad are retired city school teachers. When I was 3 years old, they crossed an ocean in search of a better life, and Baltimore is where they got a chance. My mom started at Poly, finished her career many years later, teaching at Morgan State. My dad taught at Edmondson and Douglas, at Southern and Western, before and after Southern was Digital Harbor. I myself went to local public schools, Edmondson Heights Elementary, graduated from Woodlawn High. Then I went off to Yale for college, Harvard for law school. I was president of the Harvard Law Review. Came home to serve. It was a law clerk to Justice Breyer, a federal and city prosecutor, and deputy attorney general for the state of Maryland, and spent nearly all of that time actually in the Federal Hill area.
We definitely love Federal Hill on this show. What are some of your favorite aspects of living in Baltimore, and specifically the time you've spent in South Baltimore? What are some of the things you love about Federal Hill?
There's so much to love about South Baltimore. When friends are visiting from out of town, what they are subject to every time is a tour of Federal Hill, learning about the rich history of South Baltimore and the role that Baltimore played during the Civil War. Then you got to go to Fort McHenry and see this beautiful shrine, this historic shrine to the nation that is in our backyard. And then I love taking people over the Hanover Street Bridge and looking back across Middle Branch Park. It is an incredible neighborhood, in part because we have such close proximity and access to the harbor and the downtown. We have a great restaurant scene, and we also have incredible residents in a wide range of communities all clustered together in South Baltimore.
Very cool. I recently just inherited a bike, and I can hit all those places in one ride now, so it's really cool to see the calm, very environmental harbor down by the Hanover Street Bridge, or get to see the history at Federal Hill Park and certainly Fort McHenry. So certainly so much history, and it's definitely a privilege to live in an area like this and get to take in so much, even while getting your recreation. And Thirou, I see and hear you everywhere, whether that's on the radio, representing clients as a lawyer. I know you have a background as a prosecutor. So tell us a little bit more about your professional background.
Yeah, look, I'm really proud of a career largely been devoted to public service in Baltimore. I was a federal and city prosecutor here. I was obviously deputy attorney general for the state of Maryland. So much of that work focused on addressing violent crime in Baltimore. We were going after gangs and killers and carjackers. I was a courtroom lawyer. I loved it. I was good at it. But the truth is that so much of the rest of my career has shown me the other challenges we face. I was a litigation partner at DLA Piper, the oldest law firm in Baltimore, largest law firm today in the world. I was also the CEO of a community development financial institution that took on affordable housing, climate finance, impact real estate. And you start to see through that work the terrible inequities that live in Baltimore, that exist in Baltimore, that we are expected to live with. High property taxes, high vacant houses, broken public schools with a handful of exceptions, soaring crime. These are the kinds of things that we've inherited for years. And I don't mean to badmouth my opponents, but it's like they've had their chance. Virtually nothing has changed. The only thing that's been constant is that people have been leaving the city in droves. And it is so much because of a lack of leadership. We have so much going for us here in Baltimore, the westernmost deepwater port on the eastern seaboard, an international airport, these flagship law schools, these incredible medical institutions, including a level one shock trauma center on the west side and Johns Hopkins on the east side, and this location between the political and financial capitals of the world. These are assets that other cities can't dream of having and certainly can't create out of the blue, and yet we found a way to squander them. I am running for mayor because through my professional work as a prosecutor and in the economic sectors, I see so many opportunities that we are not taking advantage of and instead have squandered.
And you've run for state's attorney. This is another campaign for mayor. And obviously, you've given us some insight into why you want to run. But what is it you enjoy about the campaigning process?
Anybody who sees me will instantly realize that I love running for office. Like a moth to a flame, sometimes I say, I am drawn to the process. I hate losing. Don't get me wrong. I'm competitive as anyone. And that part has been frustrating. But the process of running for an extrovert like me, it's a chance to meet people from all around the city. For a nerd like me, it's a chance to talk about the biggest problems and talk about the solutions to them. And as an optimist, as an idealist, I get a chance to talk to people about problems that they think cannot be solved, that they genuinely believe are impossible to resolve. And I get to inject a little bit of hope and optimism into their veins by showing them that we actually can do it, that in fact, we've done it in the past. When you have an opportunity to talk to people about problems and fill them with hope, for the people person, the academic, as well as the optimist in me, it's been a real joy.
And tell us about some things going on in the city right now you feel have to change to make sure Baltimore has a better future and present.
I hate to say this because I love this city so much, but I don't know very many things that are working well that I wouldn't change. Crime is out of control. The fact that we're bragging about the second worst murder rate in America is crazy to me. The vacant housing situation is out of control. The public education system is broken. Our taxes are too high. We don't fill potholes and take care of graffiti. Juvenile crime has skyrocketed. There's so many basic functions of government, keeping people safe, educating our children, picking up the trash that are not being done. And that's hard for me because I know it can be done. I know that it has been done in virtually every other city. Kevin, I don't know if you know this, but Baltimore is the only city in America that over the past 25 years has lost 25% of its population. It's the only city in America that is smaller in 2024 than it was in 1924. We had almost a million people, and now we basically lose a percent every year. And the reason, quite simply, is a lack of leadership. People are frustrated with high taxes, broken schools, and soaring crime. And you can't blame them for thinking if they have the option, they have the financial means to move from West Baltimore to Owings Mills, they're going to do it. And I think it's a little easy to forget that South Baltimore and other communities in Baltimore are the ones that are the lucky ones. We still have our fair share of problems, but certain neighborhoods are growing. But the rest of the city, oh my God, they're really struggling and it's heartbreaking to watch.
And circling back to crime, obviously crime is a big topic of conversation, as you mentioned. And it really affects every neighborhood, some worse than others. But what are some steps you think can be taken to help rectify the crime problem in this city?
I'm going to be super concrete. I'm not going to use the jargon that politicians often use. We need 800 more police officers. And if you want to recruit police officers here, you got to pay them appropriately. We spent $66 million on police overtime. That would be $100,000 for each of 660 more police officers. The reason why we're squandering all this money on unwanted overtime is because we can't pay our cops. The top salary for a patrol officer in Baltimore City is $107,000. In neighboring jurisdictions, it's $147,000 and $167,000. It's hard to convince people to come to Baltimore and be cops when you're going to the most dangerous city in America and you're making less than the people in Howard County doing it. And by the way, that means that the folks that you are getting, sometimes the folks that got turned down by those jurisdictions, it's not a great recipe. That's number one, something we have to do literally in the first 18 months. Second thing we have to do is actually get really specific and concrete about different crime categories. Burglaries require something different than murders. Carjackings require something different than drug trafficking. So I'll just give one of those as an example, because I am very committed to shutting down open-air drug markets, to cutting the number of homicides in half by recruiting 40 more homicide detectives. But let me go really deep on one of them so your listeners get a sense of how concrete we need to be for our leaders to be believed. Carjackings, let's use that as an example. Every carjacking that happens in Baltimore City should be referred to federal authorities to investigate and prosecute. Not every robbery is a federal crime. Not every murder is a federal crime. But every carjacking is a federal crime because every car is thought to be a vehicle of interstate commerce. So that's one thing that we can do. Second thing we're going to do is an idea inspired by State Farm Insurance. We're going to give a GPS tracking device to every resident to put in their vehicle. We won't use it. We won't activate it until your car is carjacked or stolen, but State Farm Insurance will lower your insurance premiums if you do that, and we will have a way of tracking your vehicle and building a case against the people that steal it or carjack it. The third thing we're going to do is launch something called a Jack Alert system, like Amber Alert or Silver Alert. If your car is carjacked, the Jack Alert system will take your license plate and put it on the license plate reader network that we have across the city. So all those speed cameras and red light cameras and license plate readers that we have all across the city are going to suddenly start pinging your car so that we can develop a comprehensive sense of where these folks are going. So that when prosecutors arrest the crew of individuals that is doing it, they're able to build a real case against them and get them off the streets. I go deep, Kevin, because I don't think my opponents really think or talk that way. And I don't blame them. They don't know the topic of crime. There's only one former federal and city prosecutor in the race. It's a subject I care deeply about, and it's something we're going to have to do something about on day one. And obviously, Brandon has had his chance. Sheila has had her chance. The reality is that crime was not resolved on either of their watch. That's going to change when I'm mayor.
And I know when you look at a lot of polls, you'll see crime and safety is the top issue for a lot of people in Baltimore. Is that the same thing you hear when you're knocking on doors and going to fundraisers and different events?
I do. And the kinds of crimes vary, right? In certain neighborhoods, it's murders. In other neighborhoods, it's robberies and carjackings. In other neighborhoods, it's burglaries. But the reality is that with the rise of juvenile crime, with the rise of chronic truism, which means if you've got 54% chronic truism in Baltimore, that means these kids, when they're not at Digital Harbor, are out learning all the wrong lessons, right? They're graduating from stealing bubblegum from the convenience store, to stealing cars, to committing carjackings, to doing shootings and killings. And the texture of the complaint changes, but everybody is worried about public safety. And whenever I hear the mayor say, I'm the only mayor that watched a reduction in homicides last year, I want to say to him, yeah, you and every other mayor in America, we saw a historic reduction in homicides all across the nation. Every city except for Washington, D.C. saw a precipitous drop in homicides. So when the mayor takes credit for that, it's just like the rooster taking credit for the dawn. Like, he didn't do anything. It just is happening everywhere, just like low unemployment numbers, right? Like, unemployment is down because COVID is over. So you taking credit for that is not really because of anything that you yourself did. It's something that's happening everywhere in America.
That's a good segue into our next comment, talking about business issues, which is really the main topic we cover at southbmore.com. You hear a lot of frustration from the business community, whether that's the high property taxes, which affects all of us, or difficulty in getting the permits and inspections they need. We have high personal property tax rates here in Baltimore. A lot of businesses are faced with minor privilege fees. Obviously, crime and the reputation that takes on the city affects business owners a lot. I love the many business owners we have here, but you don't hear about a lot of major business relocations coming to Baltimore. You hear a lot of those in cities like Atlanta and Austin or Arlington, where it's almost like they get so many business relocations to cities like that, they almost don't have a place to put all of them. And obviously sometimes too, we're fighting with the surrounding counties of where the headquarters should be for some of our bigger companies. And really a strong economy is why you see a lot of the cities that are growing around the country continue to grow. So how do you think Baltimore can make itself a great place to do business?
It's a really well put question because you linked a bunch of different issues. Obviously, you got to cut property taxes in half, as I have pledged to do, and find compensatory revenue mechanisms, including raising taxes on blighted and abandoned buildings as a way to make sure you can pull it off. So that's number one. We've talked about crime already, but let's go specifically to that list of complaints that you've heard. I've heard them over and over again. Uncertain permitting processes, long delays, minor privilege fees. We nickel and dime people because that is our philosophy in Baltimore City of how to raise revenue. Successful, prosperous cities realize that if you grow the economy, if you recruit businesses, if you recruit individuals into your city, that will create the expansion of your economy that you need. You don't need minor privilege fees for awnings and sandwich boards outside of small businesses. You don't need to collect a bunch of permitting fees that prevent a business from getting off the ground. You don't need to install red light cameras and enforce every traffic ticket to create revenue, which is our city's revenue model. You have to actually just grow the economy. You have to get businesses and people to come to the city. And that's not happening. And by the way, these minor privileges are not going to counteract or compensate for the lost revenue as tens of thousands of people leave the city. So let me give very concrete things of what I have pledged to do. Like Washington, D.C., I would adopt fast-track permitting. What that means is that people are given a very specific timeline for each and every kind of permit. Some permits can be done in 30 days. Some permits are going to take 90 days. But you're going to know exactly how long it's going to take, and you're going to know that permit is done within that period. You can also get fast-track permits where you pay a little extra to have the permit expedited. You're going to have one person assigned to you when you're starting a business who's going to be the liaison for all the permitting agencies. You got to get six permits. It's a pain in the ass, pain in the butt to go to a bunch of different locations. What we want to do is have a person ensure fast track permitting by coordinating those permitting processes for you. I also want to just get rid of these minor privilege fees for nonsense. If you believe as a restaurant owner that you want to put a sandwich board outside of your restaurant on the sidewalk and the sidewalk's not impeding traffic, we don't need to collect $100 for the privilege of you doing that. If you want to put up an awning, there's inspections that have to be passed to make sure that the awning doesn't fall on someone, but I don't need to collect $300 for that permit to go through. We want to make it easier for small businesses to get here and get going. We'll get that $300 in the back end. I promise you that. But I need you to be comfortable and excited and not frustrated and annoyed when you start a business here. Second thing we're going to do is take away some of the impediments. We need to have a lot more free and affordable parking in commercial districts. Just imagine if Target charged you $4 in the parking lot for when you come there to get something from Target. It would change how you think about going and stopping by Target. That's what every one of our retail stores in these commercial districts have to face. It's just a source of frustration. It makes people idle and go in circles. We need to create two-hour free parking in commercial districts to inject some fuel into the small business engines. The last thing I'll say, Kevin, is I can't get large businesses to relocate their headquarters to Baltimore tomorrow because they're looking at a lot of different things, all of which we lack, right? Talent drain is happening in Baltimore. People are leaving the city. The taxes are too high. Crime is out of control and everybody thinks crime is out of control. All of those things will prevent a major corporation from putting a second headquarters in Baltimore. But small businesses, you can recruit them here. They are the lifeblood of your economy for the foreseeable future because they see wealthy, affluent neighborhoods that can actually patronize their small businesses and a low cost of living, low cost of labor, low cost of retail and rental space. Those are the kind of ingredients you need for a small business economy to boom. But we have to make it a little bit easier by cutting down on the permitting, letting them know the taxes are going to be reduced. Kevin, look, the other thing that we can do to attract small businesses here, especially when we have, like I said, low cost of rent, low cost of living, a lot of folks that are willing to patronize small businesses, we got to do something concrete. Two specific things that I would do in addition to the parking and cutting the minor privilege fees and making permitting a little bit more accessible is to select certain industries for which we're going to give real financial incentives. One of them is my pledge to cut property taxes is over 10 years. But if you're a small business that is coming into one of our target industries, culinary arts, driverless vehicles, AI, psychedelics, whatever it is that we settle on as a city, if you're a small business starting up a shop to address that particular sector, we're going to cut your property taxes in half immediately. So if you rent from someone who is renting to a person in that particular industry, we want to have that savings passed on to the small business. The other thing that we can do, again, for these target industries is if you commit to being a small business in our city for 7 years, 5 years, you will get free health insurance for your first 5 or 7 employees. And the idea is that health insurance costs are a huge drag on small businesses. They either have to lose talent to another place that pays the same but offers health insurance, or they have to pay for health insurance, which is a big expense for a small business. It's not a big expense for the city. We have 12,000 employees. 7 extra health insurance plans is not a big cost for us. So one of the things that we're going to do is once we've selected certain industries to which we're going to invest and grow as small business proving grounds, we're going to make sure that those incentives are there for businesses that are operating in that space.
Certainly a lot of ideas there. And certainly as a small business owner, I know the big costs of paying for your own health insurance. And then sometimes you end up getting plans that are less expensive and cause you frustrations down the road. Just with talking about a better permitting process and helping businesses out more, you mentioned hiring 800 new police officers. Do we need to hire a lot of new people in the city that are there for businesses, whether that's permitting or just being advisors? I don't know if it's a new department, but a lot of new people to help these businesses out to make sure that they know that the city's on their side?
The short answer is yes, but let me go one step further, Kevin. What you have in Baltimore is a failing $3.5 billion corporation that needs a turnaround CEO. And a turnaround CEO doesn't come in and fire all 12,000 people. What the turnaround CEOs do is they come in and bring some really strong deputies, 2 or 3 folks, typically from the outside, 1 from the inside, to start setting a big vision. And then, and this is critical, they identify these 200, 250 middle management roles. It's not the police commissioner. It's the deputy major for the Eastern District. It's not the head of housing. It's the woman who hands out permits for affordable housing. Those critical roles, and I think the kinds of jobs you're talking about will fall into this category, you need to find the folks that are good and you need to reinforce them and give them raises. And you find the ones that are not pulling their weight and you need to shuffle them out. You need to fire them and find folks who will. So when I think about how to attract business here, I need business savvy folks on the inside that are in these critical middle management roles, right? They're not necessarily the person who's talking to every new business, but they're supervising the people that talk to every business. So they're keeping track of how many small businesses they talk to, whether the average permitting time period is efficient enough or not, whether they're getting too many complaints that a particular kind of permit is taking too long. Those middle management role folks are the ones that are going to set the tone. They're going to recreate the culture. They're going to use metrics to evaluate performance, and they're going to change the system. Because the person who says, you got to get to work at 9 o'clock and leave at 5 o'clock and you can't take a 3-hour lunch break is not the mayor, it's the middle managers. But the mayor has to be the person hiring and finding and prioritizing those middle management roles.
And obviously the permitting process kind of ties into this a bit, but at least here in South Baltimore and certainly Southeast Baltimore, we've seen a ton of real estate development. And I know you've taken issue with the current Harbor Place proposal. So how do you feel development is currently handled in this city? And I guess elaborate a little bit on your concerns with the Harbor Place project.
Look, nobody wants to see the renaissance and revival of Harbor Place more than me. I loved going down there as a kid. Anytime relatives were visiting, that's where we took them to see this gemstone of Baltimore. But the reality is that it's fallen on tough times. Crime is out of control. People don't feel safe down there. And there's no management. There's no programming. A couple months ago, there was those ships that came to port in the Inner Harbor, and there's 30,000 people down there, according to media reports. We know it can work, but there's nothing to do down there. And when there's nothing to do, you feel a little bit unsafe going down there. That's a complaint I hear from a lot of folks. So I absolutely am prepared to inject tons of support into that project. I just don't want luxury apartments replacing these historic festival marketplaces. I think there's some really cool things that we could think about doing, which we would do as part of a master plan. You take 6 to 9 months and you develop a community-led master plan. That's what Vancouver did with Cole Harbour. That's what Sydney did when they built the Sydney Opera House. That's what New York City did when they did the High Line. That's what Baltimore needs to do with the Inner Harbor. And I fear that right now the big developers get the good deals and everybody else is left behind. You got major TIFs and public subsidies going to Port Covington and Harbor East and Dave Bramble and MCB Realty at the Inner Harbor, but you don't have any investment going to the vacant houses or to the local developers. I think that's got to change. I am very much in favor of development and investment in the city, but you got to do it in a way that doesn't feel like it's a payback for a political donation. It's got to make sure it feels like these investments from the city are going to the folks that are working on the areas that don't naturally draw investment. If you're at the Inner Harbor, you should have no problem getting investment down there. And if the most innovative thing you can come up with is luxury apartments, you probably should go back to the drawing board and do it over.
When Harbor Place was built many decades ago, there was some big thinking there. And one of my frustrations with Baltimore in recent history is the lack of big thinking I think we have going on in the city. And many times I think there's a lack of optimism in this city. We're one of the largest markets in America with just two professional sports teams, all while the MLS has been rapidly expanding. While we have a nicely renovated arena, it's not an arena that compares with most of the major cities around the country. While tourism is one of our important industries, I feel there's so many more big events this city could have, whether you're looking at sports, it could be more college football games, more professional soccer games, more major basketball tournaments. I like that we're getting back in the conversation for the MLB All-Star game or the NFL draft, but I'm not sure why it's taking this long. There's also Premier League fan fests, which are becoming really big in a lot of cities. Then we've seen some of our big events like Artscape flounder in recent years. I'm not really sure what happened to Light City and the Book Fair, but they seem to have fallen off. In my opinion, we have some of the best seafood in the world here. We have a stunning waterfront that few cities can compete with. We have great history. We have some really cool architecture. We have one of the best baseball stadiums in America, according to just about every poll, and some really cool people that live in this city. And I want us to be able to roll out what we have here to so many people around the world. And maybe some of those people will say, hey, I had a great time in Baltimore. I want to move there now. And if you leave the city limits, you hear so much about The Wire and crime and dysfunction. When I think it's really could take some big picture, big events, big fun stuff to fix stuff like that. I'm going to go ahead and end that rant, but do you have any big picture, big fun, big exciting ideas that could really help propel this city?
Kevin, your listeners couldn't see me nodding my head vigorously to that whole rant, as you called it. That is a great stump speech if you ever decide to run, because that is 100% right. We've got all these assets that other cities can't compete with, and we just waste them. And there ought to be people coming to Baltimore every other weekend for something imaginative and cool and striking. Light City was so cool. I don't know when the last time we did it was. Artscape has become a mess and a controversy every year under the current mayor. There's no big new ideas. Whenever I hear the mayor take credit for CFG Arena, I think you should probably talk to CFG Bank before you take credit for it, because that's the reason why that arena got turned around, right? Because of major investors from the outside that came in and did that stuff. I'm glad he goes to performances there. We all do. But that is not enough. I'm with you. I think that we ought to be thinking, and I would say big picture, not just in terms of big events, but what is the identity of your city, right? Is it a sports destination city? Absolutely, it should be. And if that's the case, it can't just be the Ravens and the Orioles. Great sports franchises, perpetually on the brink of greatness, but we ought to have four or five others, a WNBA team, an MLS team. Those are the kinds of things that we ought to be talking about. And by the way, if we can get our population decline to stop, we should be talking about an NBA team, right? That's the kind of stuff that Baltimore once had that we have lost with our population decline. But the second thing I want to think about is not just our identity as a sports destination, but as a certain kind of city. Arts, film, and music was once a rich part of our present and certainly a part of our history. we've gotten away from that. There was a time when it wasn't just The Wire, House of Cards, all these movies, Veep, were all being shot in Baltimore because we provided incentives to draw art and filmmakers to Baltimore. We got a little big for our britches and got rid of them. You know where they all went? They all went to Atlanta. And now you got to compete with Atlanta and bring them back in. But that's a great identity. Our identity as a great culinary scene. This is what Copenhagen did in Europe. Baltimore should be able to do that on the Eastern Seaboard. It was not London or Paris that claimed the title of best food city in Europe. It was Copenhagen. But when I think big picture, I think, what do you want your city known for? And if we had a city that was known for arts, film, and music, for the sports franchises, for small businesses, for these kind of identities, that's the kind of city that I think we should be building. And that does require a grand vision. I'll end by saying this, Kevin. If you want incremental change, if you want these modest improvements that these mayors brag about when it comes to re-election time, go ahead and vote for someone else. I want to tear up the script and do something fundamentally different than we've ever done before. When we're talking about cutting property taxes in half, dramatically reducing homicides and carjackings to half of where they are, to ensuring that we actually have a world-class public transit grid, including free buses citywide within 5 years, a universal pre-K for 3 and 4-year-olds, a economy that works for small businesses that doesn't expect them to basically raise revenue by giving us permitting fees. Those kinds of big promises are the kind of grand vision that I have for this city. I'm so frustrated by the culture of low expectations to which our city politicians have surrendered. It's just shameful when you have so much going for us and we've just frittered it away.
Gotcha. And certainly you look at a city like New Orleans, which has just as many problems as we do, but they've marketed so well themselves as a place to go see an event, place to go see a college football game. I certainly go down there and I'm jealous of the way they've certainly taken the advantages they have, which I think in some ways are the same ones we have. Their weather's a little bit warmer down there, but certainly you see a small city that's done an incredible job marketing itself down there. I have to ask, speaking of water, I saw you took a swim in the Inner Harbor recently. How was that?
It was cold, but I don't have a third eye. I don't have a third leg. The reality is that we've actually come a long way in making the Inner Harbor more swimmable. You can't go in within 48 hours of a rain event, but as long as it hasn't rained in the last couple of days, it's actually cleaning up. I didn't spend, you know, I think I spent 90 seconds in there and got out as quickly as I could. But it was an effort to draw attention to some environmental pledges. Right now, we have politicians that make promises on the campaign trail, and then literally the day they get elected, they forget all about them. What I said was that if I didn't make good on these 5 pledges within the first 60 days of my time as mayor, on the last day of February 2025, I would jump back into the frigid waters of the Inner Harbor. And to prove to the world how serious I was, I took a quick dive that day. It was a gimmick, obviously. We got cameras there, but it was a gimmick with a purpose. It was a gimmick with the purpose of making clear that we're trying to do something very different and that what I say on the campaign trail is exactly what I mean and exactly what I'm going to deliver.
And the Waterfront Partnership, it will be inviting a lot of people to take a swim coming up. I don't think they've set a date for that yet, but maybe all of us will take a swim in that harbor one day, which would have thought to have been impossible, even looking back.
That's right.
10 to 20 years ago. Through any last points you wanted to mention while you're on the show?
Yeah, look, I'll just end by saying this. We're using public financing. It's an incredible system. You can go to throughformayor.com. A $25 donation turns into $250. A $150 donation, the most you can ever get, turns into $775. Those small donations have been a source of joy. We have over 1,000 city donors. It's never been done before. We raised $800,000 plus. And the truth is that we have opponents that are not up to the task. We have opponents that are in so many ways emblematic of the failures of our city's past. I want to do something different. It hasn't been done in a long time. If I don't do the things that I have pledged to do, vote me out. But first, you got to vote me in.
Well, Theroux, thanks a lot for your time. And you're busy on the campaign trail, and we appreciate you joining the show. And best of luck in the final days of your campaign.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it so much. And I love that we're having a substantive conversation about the future of Baltimore, a city that we all love with all of our hearts.